Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Sunyavari, Paschatya Shachari. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today marks the disappearance of the spiritual master of the founder of this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we know that's Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master is called Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj. So we are celebrating the disappearance. For pure devotees, appearance and disappearance are looked at with the same spiritual light. When our family members depart, we feel very morose. But spiritual masters, they may leave the physical body, but they don't really leave because we leave so much legacy behind us. Srila Prabhupada, when he was on his deathbed, he said, "I'm not going to die. I will never die. I will remain alive in my books." So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur, wrote a good number of books. He set up magazines. So many people talk about his life history. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj played a very important role in establishing what we know as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We know Srila Prabhupada founded it. But Srila Prabhupada founded this organization, this society, this spiritual society, based on the instructions given to him by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master. So he was following, Srila Prabhupada was following the directions given by his spiritual master, and that is the important thing that has to be done in the disciple-guru relationship. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was born on February 6th, 1874. And he was born in the afternoon around 3:30. And he was named at first Bimal Prasad Datta. So Bimal Prasad was the name that most people referred to him, but his full name was Bimal Prasad Datta. Later on, when he took sannyas, then the name was given Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was born in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath's area, not far from the temple of Lord Jagannath. His father was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whom we know about. He's written so many books himself. He was an attorney. And this is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father. And he had quite a few children. Bimal Prasad was the fourth child. And when he was born, he came out of the womb. When a child is born, usually the child comes out the umbilical cord by which the child sustains himself or herself in the womb, also comes out and the umbilical cord is cut later. So his umbilical cord was around, wrapped around his neck like a Brahman thread. So this was all signs that he was a special personality, a particular person. Later on, an astrologer did a reading on him. And he said that he had done so many horoscopes in his life, but he had never seen this type of horoscope filled with so many signs of this young child being a great personality. So he said, the astrologer said, this child will become well famous as a brilliant teacher of life's ultimate goal. When Bhima Prasad was 6 months old, it was time for Rath Yatra. He was born in Jagannath Puri, so that's where Rath Yatra takes place. In the Rath Yatra cart, the Lord actually is out, and Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, the carts are out, and there's so much, pomp and celebrations there in the procession. But the cart stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. There are many, many instances in Rath Yatra, especially in Jagannath Puri, where the cart goes a certain way or stops at a certain place, and it becomes very clear that if the Lord wants to stay there, nobody can move the cart, no matter how strong he does move. So the cart stopped at Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And the instruction has it that it stayed there actually for 3 days, so it was a long celebration. Now, Bhima Prasad's mother is called Bhagavati Devi. That's her name. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked his wife, Bhagavati Devi, to bring the child before the cart, which she did. And when she brought the baby to the cart, a garland fell from Lord Jagannath's neck and encircled the baby. So this was one sign. This just obviously is not something that happens, in the actor in so many situations. But that was a sign of how special, this child was. And so since the cart stayed that long, there was grain ceremony that was observed. The child was 6 months old at the time. Grain ceremony was served before the cart. So the cart, there was Jagannath Prasad on the cart, so Bhima Prasad had an opportunity to taste Lord Jagannath Prasad. That's the grain ceremony. And also, in the grain ceremony, there is a time where the child's vocational inclination, what is he going to do in the future? There's a little test that's given. You put money on one side and a spiritual book on the other side, and then they leave the child. Okay, now we'll see where else he will crawl to. And so the Bhima Prasad immediately crawled straight for the spiritual book. And that indicated that his future would be involved with preaching. So, from the very beginning of his appearance, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed all kinds of signs of being an eternal associate of the Lord. Now, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had prayed to Krishna to give him someone to help him spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't say, give me a child. He said he needed somebody to help him. But all these signs that appeared in this fourth child showed that he must be the person who was the answer to the prayer that Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Krishna. So he's called a ray of vision. So He obviously comes from a very, very, very distinguished line, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The name Bhima Prasad, or Sri, it's named after Sri Bimal Devi. And that's the Parashakti, or the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So Bhima Prasad literally means the mercy of the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So hopefully you're connecting the dots. You know about the Rath Yatra, the card stuff at his house, and now we understand his name is even connected with the mercy of the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So when he was a boy, about 2-3 years old, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, brought some ripe mangoes. Brought it from the market. And Bhima Prasad took one to eat. And he said, well, this is mine. You know, our children, you take something, you take it, and immediately belongs to them. He says, well, this is mine. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, in a very grave voice, what is this? New food has come to the house. It has not been offered to our deity, Girihari, and you have taken it first? Remember, new food is to be given first to the Lord. You don't give a first share to the Lord, then nothing is to be taken. So even at that age, the child understood what he had done. And he became very repentant. And he said, from that time on, a promise to himself that he will not taste mango, even if it's prasad. I cannot take mango. So actually, when he got older and mangoes were brought, people would just give prasad. And every time that anyone brought mangoes to Bhima Prasad, he said, no, I will not take it. I'm an offender. He remembers that situation and he said, no. No. So then when he was about 7 years old, he had his super brain, literally. He had committed the entire Bhagavad Gita to memory. He could explain the verses. He knew the verses by heart, and he could explain the verses. So his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, realized that this was a very, very, very smart and spiritual boy that I have. So he began to train Bhima Prasad in proofreading Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his printing, you know, things that he wrote. Now, this is 7 now. And so he had very good command of the language at the time. And he started traveling with his father wherever he went. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew then that he had a child that was special, the child was the answer to his own prayer. So Bhima Prasad, whatever he would read one time, he could later recall it with perfect clarity, reading it just once. This is how, you know, smart he was. We wish our children were like that. But anyway. So he went to school, he was trained in mathematics and astrology. And there's so much that he did in astrology. He was so good that he was eventually given the title Siddhanta Saraswati by his tutors. And later on, he came to the name when he got sannyas, then he was, bhakti was added to it. But actually, his tutors were impressed. Vedanta and Siddhanta mean the same, this is the goal of bhakti. So, his two tutors, Mahishchandra Charamani and then Pandit Sundar Lal, they named him like that. It was like a nickname, but it became a name that was very important later. So, there's so much about him. We could just talk on and on and on and on and on. Anyway. But one time, there was a scholar that came to where Bhima Prasad was. And this person was a famous professor in astrological calculation. And there was discussion between Bhima Prasad and this particular scholar called Vasudev Shastri. And after some discussion, that scholar had to accept defeat. Reminds us of a situation where Keshava Kashmiri came to Navadvip, and Lord Chaitanya was only 16 years old at the time. And Keshava Kashmir was very proud. He had defeated so many scholars. And then he came to Navadvip thinking that he would defeat the scholars there also. And the scholars arranged that he should first defeat Nimai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the strategy was that if Keshava Kashmir was able to defeat Nimai, they would say, oh, he's only 16 years old. You just defeated a teenager now. You could defeat us. But then if Nimai won the debate, then they would tell Keshava Kashmir, well, little boy can beat you, so don't try us. You're a teenager. You couldn't. So this case, scholar came and he lost to Bhima Prasad. As a matter of fact, he was so mortified that he literally had to go and respond to calls of nature. This is how bad the man felt, because he's a very high professor and a young person has defeated him. So about 13 years old, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, brought Tulsi beads from Jagannath Puri and gave him the name of Hari and also a Shinga mantra to chant and a worship of his own deity, Kuma deity. They had Giridhari at home, his home deity, but then he got his own Kuma deity. Srila Prabhupada had his own deities also. So he continued schools. Now, about 16 years old, he actually had begun to write books on astrology. Well, if he defeated a professor, that's not too difficult. I believe they write books at that time. So, in his college days, he would discuss the Vedas with scholars there at the time. And so much that they were very, very impressed with him. Now, in 1895, he left college because he was very eager to execute the worship of the Lord and to remain free from the pressure to enter family life. So in his autobiography, he said, if I remain, this is I'm quoting directly, if I remain studying with careful attention at the college, then extreme pressure would be brought upon me to enter family life. But if I'm considered to be foolish and inefficient, then no one would put such inducement, such pressure on me to become so engaged as a grahastha. So from that consideration, he left. He says, I left the Sanskrit college in order to maintain my life for the service of Lord Hari. I was just desirous to get an honest occupation, I could perform, and just getting a humble income and stay that way and not get too involved with material life, which will most likely give him advice to take a wife and then start a family and so on. He did not. But he was so good, academically, that after this college, even after he left, he was going to be offered a chairman position in astronomy at the University of Calcutta. Because they had seen his books, they knew how brilliant he was. But Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur declined it because it meant that in astronomy, then he would be dealing with so many material things and it would be an impediment to his spiritual life. So he decided not to pursue that. So he turned it down. So in 1898, he toured so many places, Benares, Prayag, Gaya, and he was going with his father. And he discussed philosophy with persons in a line connected with Ramanujacharya, who himself was a very, very great spiritual master, great personality at that time. And he published a number of articles on spiritual topics and started, just like Srila Prabhupada started Back to Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, Maharaj also started a magazine called Nivedana. It's also weekly. Nivedana. Now, he got initiated and his initiation was very interesting. So in 1898, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had constructed his residence in Navadvipa Dham. And he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was very much interested in the discovery of the birth site of Lord Chaitanya. So he was very, very involved in that. Now we know it's in the Mayapur area. So at that time, Sri Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj arrived at Navadvipa to see the site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and to hear lectures, discourses from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, he came with very, very few things. He was just really had taken. First, he was a business person, but he just got away from all of that, so he was living very, very simply. He came with just his, you know, whatever he had, a few books, whatever he had on him for clothes, and Tulsi Mala, which he wore around his neck. And with his few books, he started, you know, also being involved in some of the bhakti activity. Narottam Das Thakur's words. He had that with him. Now, Gokishore Das Babaji later was serving so well and was in so much ecstasy that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj became very attracted to him, Gokishore Das Babaji. In fact, at first sight, first time he met, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, or Bhima Prasad, was attracted to him. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father, noticed that. And by gradually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, but by gradually observing the spiritual character of him, of Gokishore Das Babaji, he realized that only a Vaishnava could reside in this material world and be of that kind of character. So, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, began to urge him, go to Srila Gokishore Das Babaji and ask for initiation. So, this is around 1900. Gokishore Das Babaji was living a very, very, very renounced life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj or Bhima Prasad went to Gokishore Das Babaji, who knew that Bhima Prasad was a great scholar. And he got asked by Siddhanta Saraswati, please give me initiation. And Gokishore Das Babaji gave Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj a hard time. But it was all, as your Papa describes, this is all just for show, but actually we had a connection. First he said, alright, I will ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if he gives permission, then your desire will be fulfilled. So then Bhima Prasad left, came back another day and asked him, what was Srila Mahaprabhu's order? Gokishore Das Babaji said, well, I forgot to ask him. So, the third time that Gokishore Das Babaji was requested, he said, well, I didn't receive the command of Mahaprabhu, which means he wasn't going to initiate Bhima Prasad. And Bhima Prasad at that time stood up and his heart was breaking and he said, you both see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gokishore Das Babaji, both of you are worshippers of Krishna. Why will you not take mercy on someone dedicated to ordinary morality like me? So then he started begging. And literally, when he went back home, Bhakti Thakur said that you have to get initiation from Gokishan Das Babaji or don't come back. So now he was stuck between having to get initiation from Gokishan Das Babaji, who was giving him a hard time, and the father saying that you gotta do this. You have to do this. You can't come home. Do this. So finally, in front of Gokishan Das Babaji, Vimal Prasad began to cry. And he said, you either I get initiation or I will not even feel like living anymore in this world. So then Gokishan Das Babaji, finally his heart melted to see Vimal Prasad crying like that. So he told him, okay, go take a bath in the Saraswati River and come back. And at the time of initiation, he gave the name Sri Vaishabhanavi Devi Daita Das. So this is how Bhima Prasad now has he's got initiation, then he's got initiated, he's got a Brahman thread. And now he did a lot of work in 1898. He was following his father to different places in Puri, and he was preaching. And actually, there was one situation where there was a debate between, the debate was about who was actually more superior in lifestyle and in connection spiritually, Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhima Prasad, or Sri Vaishabhanavi Daite Das at the time, his father was supposed to represent the Vaishnavas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur happened to be sick at that time, couldn't go. And so Bhima Prasad had written part of it on Vaishnavas. Jagannath Baladeshwara Maharani Ki. He go ni tai ki, jai. Hira Prabhupada ki, jai. And so he told his father that I will go and represent you. His father gave him blessings. So now he entered the debate. Vaishnavas were quite disappointed not to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur there to represent them. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the one that represented the Vaishnavas. And he started by praising the Brahmanas. Now, he was speaking for the Vaishnavas. He started by praising the Brahmanas. There's so many things at the material level, at the subtle material level, Brahmanas could do. And then, of course, they were also teachers. And they were the ones that were in the Varnas, the top, you know, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudras. So definitely in society, they had a very important role. And this is all supported, and the Brahmins were very happy. But then he finished by saying, but when one becomes a Vaishnava, that is a higher position because a Vaishnava is submitted to the will of Krishna. They surrendered to Krishna. And he backed it up with references and made the Vaishnavas very, very, very happy, and they all literally flocked to him and touched his lotus feet. So he made the case, and if you think about what he did not put down the Brahmanas. He started by praising them. And then he explained with good reference that a person that is submitted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to be the highest. They perform devotional service, which we're doing now by instruction from a spiritual master, by the sadhana bhakti, which is what we're involved in now. Now, there's a number of things, other things that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj did, and we'll just say this. This is how it connects to ISKCON. When he started preaching, he had traveled to so many places. He was establishing, this is all Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, establishing, initiating, and disciples and establishing temples. And when he came to the Calcutta area, then a friend of Srila Prabhupada said, there is this highly elevated sannyasi that has come. Please go hear him. First, Srila Prabhupada did not want to go. But later on, after the friend insisted, Srila Prabhupada went. He was called Abhayata Narvin. Abhay went with his friend, and when they met, he saw his spiritual master. It was just basically, at that time, the person that was lecturing. They had a connection immediately, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj pointed him out and says, you are educated, you're a young man, why don't you spread the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language in the West? To which Srila Prabhupada responded that at the time in India, the independence and the move politically to get the British out of India was what was in vogue, what people were putting their energies into that. And Mahatma Gandhi was the one spearheading this. And so why, none of us is meaning, maybe that has to be done first, and then later on, we'll see about spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told you the Prabhupada that politics will remain. The politicians may go, but the politics will still be there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings should not be put on hold. And therefore, the instructions were very specific from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj to Srila Prabhupada. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, and later on, things even like the GBC that we have now, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's idea. You should do that. The printing of books, the selling of books, distribution of books, that was also the instruction by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So, when Srila Prabhupada obeyed his spiritual master, he got initiated later. This is how we got to know about Krishna consciousness, because as we well know, Srila Prabhupada came here to the West at the age of 69 to 1965 and started this movement. So much difficulty was there, but he knew that Krishna would be there to support him. And as one of his disciples said, Srila Prabhupada told him, I'm not one to give up so easily. So whatever it is that the challenges were, he knew that the power, the Shakti of a spiritual master and also the Goswamis would be with him. And of course we have benefited so much from this. Now, there is, some of his teachings and that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj has benefited the world with it. And I want to take a few points and mention that going forward from this point. There are 64 principles for community building. And since we are a community, we're going to discuss some of them. 64 is quite a lot of principles. The first principle is, this is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction in the Shishastakam, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That is the only motto of the Gaudiya Math. Gaudiya Math was founded by him. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The chanting of the holy name is the supreme victory, way in which a person can be Krishna conscious. So that is our slogan, that is our motto, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, especially in congregation. That is what saves in Kali Yuga at this time. The second principle was about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's position, which he said, The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the only enjoyer. Everyone and everything else is the object of his enjoyment. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj made it clear, Krishna is the only enjoyer. He is not in the enjoyed position. We are enjoyed. We are supposed to serve him, or serve those who serve those who serve those who serve him. Servant of a servant of a servant of a servant. Now, that is our position, and that is the position that makes us happy. When we serve the Supreme Personality of God, an internal happiness comes. The type of happiness that you cannot get in the material world with anything that the material world has to offer. Wealth, you name it. You name it. Serving Krishna, we will in fact have some peace and we have happiness with it also. Even in the material world. It's just a question of giving it a try. You'll see it is there. Principle number three. Anyone who does not serve Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ignorant and a killer of himself. Now, before we discuss that, of course, there are heavy words that's been used by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj in this particular principle. He was a no-nonsense type of guy. He just spoke things the way they are and just, you know, spills it out. And so he says, if one does not serve Hari, then they don't know what human life is for. One does not have served the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have wasted their human life. This is backed up by the fact that there's only 400,000 types of bodies out of 8,400,000 types that can understand, has enough intelligence to be able to serve Krishna and to be told about what the reality is in this material world. That this place is a place where you have to, what, get out, because it's the place that the lifestyle is one, it's a suffering condition. The birth is a painful decision, a painful situation. Death is a painful situation. Old age is a painful situation. And disease is a painful situation. But with that type of body, the human body, one can be made to understand that. And to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the way to be able to earn his mercy so that we can get out and go back to the spiritual world. So one that does not want to do that, first of all, doesn't realize what the human body is for, and is a killer of himself in terms of the fact that they will die and take a birth in the material world and take a birth repeatedly. Whereas in the spiritual world, there is no death. There is no death. So a person that does not serve Hari, then in that sense, is a killer of himself. Principle number four. To learn to tolerate is one of the most important responsibilities of a devotee. He says those living in the math. At that time, he had Gaudiya math. So the devotees, those living in math, he meant devotees. To learn to tolerate. Why? Well, we are conditioned souls. We have a higher nature, we have a lower nature. Both are there. And while living, sometimes the higher nature will come out and sometimes the lower nature will come out because we are going through purification, but we're not purified yet, we're not pure yet. And those who are not pure, that means that there's some unwanted things that are there. Unwanted desires, unwanted part of our character is also like that. It's in the lower, it's in the modes of passion and ignorance. And so we shouldn't be surprised when a devotee does something that's out of character or connected with a lower nature. You have to understand that we are all going through the process of what? Purification. Therefore, in order to go on, we learn to tolerate. We learn to tolerate. Now, I'll tell you a story. There was one. devotee or one guy that came to the Hare Krishna, one of the temples. And this is Tamal Krishna Goswami that said the TKD said the story. True story. When he came, people would get up, they would go to Mangalati, and he won't go. He will be like in the corridor leading to the temple, and he'll be there, and he'll be just standing, and he's not standing straight either. He's standing at an incline, so you just have to kind of get around him to go. And he'll be just reading. And so he was acting weird. His name was Peter. So the devotees called him Crazy Peter. This is a true story that they nicknamed him Crazy Peter. But the way he was behaving, people were just tired of it. So they wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, after a few letters from the devotees, he wrote back and says, what is the problem? You cannot tolerate. This is how Srila Prabhupada responded. So then they left him alone. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said that he traveled, he himself, Goswami traveled, and so he wasn't around Crazy Peter anymore for quite a while. And then he came to one of the temples where he was. He also had moved to a different temple. And he saw Crazy Peter, all shaved up and chica and everything, dressed up nicely in the temple. So then he asked about it. This particular person, he didn't call him Crazy Peter, he just wanted to know what had happened. Oh, the devotee said, this is Kushakras Prabhu. And it just blew the devotee's mind. I think Tamal Krishna Goswami's mind says, oh, okay, so he's all fixed up now. Now, he is actually one that he's left the body now, but he translated some of the Sanskrit book, Sanskrit teachings into books, including Garga Samhita. Garga Samhita, which is a series of books that I myself am reading so much pastimes there. So, when Srila Prabhupada said, learn to tolerate, Srila Prabhupada knew what kind of personality that the devotees called him Crazy Peter, but who really was. Now, principle number 5, Rupanuga devotees, those of us that follow Rupa Goswami, Rupanuga devotees, they offer all glory to the original source instead of depending on their own strength. So, the message being sent to us is that we have to depend on the will of Krishna. The original source is Krishna. So depending on our own strength, yes, we have some strength that's given to us. We have some intelligence that's given to us. But we should put ourselves in a situation where we are being used by Krishna to let things happen. Rather than say, oh, it's based on my own ability, you give credit to Krishna, and it's maybe even not deeper than that is to pray to Krishna to be used. To be used to serve in all situations. In all situations, not just in the temple or not just at home, everywhere to be used. Now, we'll do one more. And this is principle number 10. That's an advice from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. He said, my advice is do not criticize others. Try to rectify yourself. Remember earlier we talked about having to tolerate because we all have higher nature and we have lower nature. And now he connects it with this principle number 10, which he says, do not criticize others. Try to rectify yourself. So within that statement, trying to rectify ourselves, is the fact that we have some purification to go. There's room for improvement in our spiritual life. So rather than being hard on others, talk about they're like this, that, this, that, this, they have a lower nature, we have a lower nature. So don't spend time talking about their lower nature. Spend time to rectify ourselves. Follow devotees who are fixed up. question them about how to improve your own life, follow what they do, learn from them, and become a better devotee in that way, rather than spending time talking about what other people are doing. That is not right. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is the reason why we have so many books from Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Srila Prabhupada wrote the books, but that was an instruction from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj also told his disciple Srila Prabhupada to travel to the West, now there are devotees who are not from India who are also initiated and taking the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki. Right, now we have some questions. We have about 5 minutes, according to what I've told. We have some comments or even takeaways or questions that you want to ask. Anyone?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It was such a nice class, and especially sharing the glories of past Shri Gurudai Gita, the teacher.
Yeah.
Especially speaking about the glories of the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Sometimes, you know, we think that we know a little bit about him, but really we don't. So it's nice that to hear how great of a personality he is. If you can share shortly, just to shed some light, is how can we really develop the taste to really know the acharyas in our line, like really take the time to know them, because, you know, like we've heard that he's just the direct guru of Srila Prabhupada. How can we really, you know, take time to really know who he is and his glories?
So, there are books that have been written about the acharyas. There is a book, in fact, not just one book, there's three books together, written by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So, if you really want to delve into his life, that much, you know, research was done by Bhakti Vikas Swami to have, you know, more information about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's glorious life. And there are books that talk about, if you look in, you know, Lord Chaitanya's life, it's explained. So basically there's enough literature now. It's just a question of connecting with, you know, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and asking them for such information, and you will in fact get the books that connect to, and you get to know more about the life. And it's a very good question, or very good point to bring up, because these are pure devotees of the Lord. So just by reading about their lifestyle, you will in fact get so much from them, how they handle different practical situations as devotees, and the comments they made in advice to other people that they came in contact with. Thank you. It's a very good question. Alice.
Hare Krishna. It's a bit of a follow-up on that question.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching on YouTube, there is a series by Chaturat Mahaprabhu on the lives of the Vaishnava Acharyas.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up on the lives of, you know, Vishwanath Das Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, the Six Goswamis. And, you know, each session he will choose one acharya and he will give lecture. And I found those lectures to be very, very informative and very inspiring as well.
Mm.
So a follow-up on Mataji's question was, you know, you mentioned there are three books on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of reference books that talk about the lives of the other acharyas?
Not offhand. There's so many of them though. And you sometimes there's Nityananda Charitamrita. There's so many of them. Just basically, it's best to go. BBT's business is to deal with books. So that's why I'm saying BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. It's best to start there and then find out more, you know, about these charges and the way they live. So that's their best source. You know, you can Google things, but if BBT would tell you a whole lot more. Yeah, because a good many of the Srila Prabhupada disciples have done the research to find out about these charges. Alright, there's one more thing that nobody asked me and I didn't divulge information either, but I will do that now. So we are celebrating the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. I told you when he was born, but when did he leave the world? After all, we're talking about disappearance. He left on 1st January 1937. That was when he left. It had to be in the evening because if you look at some other, the Prabhupada Vani, they say it's December 31st, 1936, but December 1st to 1st January 1937 is like the evening of that day they're going to. So it probably was past 12 noon and that's why now it's pegged at 1st January 1937. He was 63 years old then at the time that he left. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna,
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Very nice class, Prabhupada.
Krishna's mercy.
One of the things that he did was talks about countering the Mayavadi philosophy. Right?
Mm.
Can you give us some brief inputs around what he did and what was his, you know, area of interest in countering?
The Mayavad philosophy is philosophy that is counter or against what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking about that we should do as Vaishnava. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sort of a no-nonsense kind person, so you know, these were caste Goswamis, and so he defeated their way of looking at things. This like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing also. So people were saying that you have to be Brahman. If you're born in a Brahman family, then you're a Brahman. And he said, no, it has to be by knowledge. It has to be by earning. Going to study about what Brahmanism is, not just that, you know, he's in the family, therefore you have to be accepted that way. There's a term called the Dvija Bandhus, a friend of those who are real Brahmins, real Vaishnavas, those who are not following according to the tenets of Vaishnavism. So he defeated Brahmins, and literally, I mean, the caste Goswamis, and they tried to take his life, literally, because he was just, you know, he doesn't sugarcoat when it comes to things like that. He just tells things as they are. And so they even bribed the police in India to try to take his life. But they tried to bribe him, but the police did not accept, the leader did not accept the bribe. And then he also went to see Baptist Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj and informed him that, you know, there's that kind of plan to try to take your life, so you should be, you know, aware of that. Yeah, one of the main things was this caste. You're born in this particular caste, then you're automatically having that title when in fact you haven't studied anything or even living the life of whatever the caste says you are, especially the higher caste people. So he defeated this whole caste system, especially. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see anybody asking. So, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki. Vaishnava Thakur ki. Gaura Premanande.